Your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We have here a wonderful prophecy by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Christ's birth about the Savior. We think about light. We think about light. Again, it's just amazing what a small amount of light can do, and a small amount of light can make a big difference. In the Bible, we have that theme throughout the entire Bible, light versus darkness. I'm thankful the light wins. Amen. Amen. The light wins. We think about, again, the Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 9, prophecy. He's speaking during the time of wicked King Ahaz. They are about to go to war with a confederate from the country of Samaria. And we know that God comes to him by way of the prophet and says, Samaria will not prevail. Though Israel did not deserve it, though Judah did not deserve it, because again of the wicked King Ahaz, God was going to have mercy and grace upon the family. God was going to have grace and mercy upon the Jews, and they would prevail. And in light of that, he gives this prophecy to the prophet Isaiah. Look at me, with me in verse 1. Isaiah 9 verse 1 says, Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, that's Nazareth and Capernaum, the area around the Sea of Galilee. And afterward he did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and hast his staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. A great victory. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now, verse 6 and 7, we almost are familiar with these two passages as referring to the Messiah, but the whole passage refers to the Messiah. Amen. But look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. I'm looking forward to that. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from thenceforth, even forever. The Lord will rule and reign forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God will see to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time we could come and again be reminded of the light and our responsibility to be a light. Again, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have the promise of a light that would come to the country, come to the nation of Israel. And that light is that light that they once had. And that light they once had left them. So let's look at back in the Old Testament. Most of you have heard this a little bit before, but we've tweaked it a little bit more. The light that appeared, the light that appeared. When did light first appear? All the way back in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. The Bible says there that God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. And that light divided the darkness. And so the light that first appeared in Genesis chapter 1, and then we know that that was the first day, but on the fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars. All right, so the first day, he created this light that I just read about. And then on the fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars. So what was the light that became visible on the first day? Well, I believe that was the Shekinah glory. I believe that was Jesus Christ. Hey. And it was Christ. We know this from John chapter 8. We know that Christ is the one who who said that he was the one who spoke the worlds into existence. John chapter 1 says the same thing. Hebrews chapter 1, so many verses that make it very clear. Colossians also says that it was Jesus Christ who framed the worlds. It was Jesus Christ who brought all things into existence. It was the voice of Jesus she would have heard on the first day, "Let there be light." Because Jesus is God. And he was the light. So the light appeared on that first day of creation. By the way, just as a side note, in verse 3, when he says, "Let there be light," that Hebrew word and the Hebrew word in verse 14 for the sun and moon and stars are different words. The verse 3, that particular Hebrew word means radiance or luminosity. And in chapter 4, and verse 14, when it talks about the sun, moon, and stars, it specifically is talking about luminaries or luminary bodies. And so there is a difference in the Hebrew between those two words. And so there's some evidence there that that may have been in Christ on the very first day. And we know throughout the Old Testament, we see the light that continued to appear. Everybody still with me? Amen. The light that continued to appear. That light appeared in the Old Testament many times. We see it the next time. We see it as regards to the burning bush. Moses heard of a bush that was burning but was not consumed, the mount of God. And he said, "I'll turn aside and see what this thing is." And he went up, and there he met God. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus claimed to be the one speaking out of the burning bush. He was the one who spoke out of the burning bush. First thing he told Moses to do was take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. And God spoke to him out of the burning bush, that light. By the way, that light appeared in Egypt, and it's the light that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Yeah. If you go to Exodus chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you'll see when God brings them out of Egypt, brings them out, by the way, with a great, very heavy hand, and the light leads them. The light leads them. That light appeared when they built the temple or the tabernacle, and it came down upon the tabernacle and rested in the Holy of Holies, above the mercy seat, between the cherubs. When Solomon completed the temple, that light dwelt in the Holy of Holies, in that great temple, on top of the mercy seat, between the cherubs. The light. When Solomon finished building the temple, that light came down. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, "And the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house." The Lord's house. You see, the Shekinah glory was God's presence among his people. The Shekinah glory was God's physical presence among his people. This light, this radiant light. That light was so bright, in fact, when Moses went in to speak with the Lord, that when he came back out, his face shined as he spoke to God. Are you saying, Pastor, that God is light? No, we're not pantheistic. But God expresses himself by way of his glory, the light, the Shekinah glory. And then thirdly, we see the light departs. Israel, of course, fell into sin many times over. God finally, through his prophets, said that they would be carried into captivity, that they would go into bondage. And in Ezekiel, it describes for us the light departing from Israel. Ezekiel, God shows Ezekiel, the prophet, how that the children of Israel were worshiping the sun on the Temple Mount. Inside the temple, inside that outer perimeter of the temple, they were worshiping the sun. They were worshiping Tammuz. They were worshiping Babylonian gods inside the temple. And then he drew back the curtain for Ezekiel, and he saw the priests inside the temple worshiping creeping things. What does that mean? Worshiping insects. Worshiping unbelievable. And God finally had enough. His mercy, his grace had been extended for only so long, and he brought judgment. And the first thing he did was depart from them. And that Shekinah glory, that light that dwelt in the Holy of Holies. So you had the temple, and inside the temple you had the Holy of Holies, and inside that Holy of Holies you had the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the mercy seat you had two cherubs, and their wings stretched one towards another, And right between those wings, the Shekinah glory dwelt. And the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3 through 4, that Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies, on top of that mercy seat, between the cherubs, between the wings of the cherubs, departed from the top of that mercy seat and went to the door of the temple. So it left the Holy of Holies and went to the door of the temple, Ezekiel 9. In Ezekiel 10, the Bible says, verses 18 through 19, that from the door of the temple, from the door of the temple, it left and went to the eastern gate of Jerusalem. So Ezekiel's watching this. He's watching the glory of the Lord depart from the temple and go to the temple door. And then he's watching the temple, the light leave the temple and go to the eastern gate. And then Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 22 through 23, Ezekiel watches the light go from the eastern gate to the mountains on the east side of Jerusalem and disappear. The glory of the Lord had departed. The light departed. But we have this great promise in Isaiah chapter 9 of a light, the light that would return. The light was prophesied 700 years before Christ came. The light is prophesied to return. It speaks of Zebulun, Nazareth, and Naphtali, Capernaum. Well, we know that Jesus is from Nazareth, right? He ministers around the Sea of Galilee, and his home base was Capernaum. Verse 2 of Isaiah 9, it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath light shined." This light returns. The prophecy is fulfilled. By the way, this prophecy was known by John the Baptist. It was known by the Jewish leaders as evidenced in John chapter 1, and I'm going to go read it. John chapter 1. You say, well, that's an obscure reference to the Messiah. Apparently not, because John the Baptist knew and the Jewish leaders knew of this reference. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in referring to Christ, he says, "In him was life," talking about Jesus, "and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John," talking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L-I-G-H-T, "that all men through him," capital L-I-G-H-T, "through Jesus, might believe. He was not the light," John the Baptist was not the light, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light," capital L-I-G-H-T, "that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He was in the world and so forth. John was asked if he was the Messiah, if he was the Christ, if he was the light, and by the religious leaders, and John specifically and emphatically said, "I am not the light." In Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read this for you. You say, well, I'm still not sure that Isaiah 9 is speaking of the Messiah. Well, Matthew chapter 4 makes it very clear, because it tells us that it is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Matthew chapter 4, I'll read in verse 10. Let's read in verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee," listen closely now, "and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," verse 15, "the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, and of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Amen. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Amen. Matthew makes it very clear that Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. The light that had departed, the light that had departed the Temple Mount, the light that had departed the city of Jerusalem, the light that headed off into the wilderness, that light had returned. We see that fulfillment because people saw it. The shepherds saw a great host and apparently saw a light. The wise man, we won't turn to all these scriptures because it would take us a while, but Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, the Bible says the wise man followed what? The star. But in Matthew chapter 2, it says something even more clear. It says, in Matthew 2, it says that the star led them and stood over the house where Jesus was. You say, well, man, how did a star do that? Well, again, luminary body, right? And that particular word speaks of a luminescence, a point of light. There was a point of light, a star that led the wise men from the east to come to Bethlehem.
Amen.
It was the light. After they left the king, they followed the light. It led them. And it didn't just like, you know, the northern star or something way up there. No, it led them to the house, not approximate, not to the street, but led them to the house and stood over the house where Jesus Christ was. That's what the Bible says. Just as that light led the children out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, and just as the light led them in the wilderness, and just as the light came and dwelt between the cherubs, the light returned. It was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before it happened.
Good.
The light returned, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This Shekinah glory, I believe, as it returned. Peter, James, and John saw the light on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? Jesus said, hey, you guys stay here and pray. And they fell asleep a couple of times. Jesus had to come and, you know, hit them. And as they looked, they saw Jesus and the glory peeked out just a little bit. Just a little bit. They got a small portion of the glory which Jesus held back while he was here on earth. We see the same light as Saul, who was a great persecutor of the church. And as Saul was on the road to Damascus, the Bible says that a light appeared in him as bright as the noonday sun. Paul's own testimony was that it was bright as the noonday sun. And the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, called out from the light. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. This light had returned. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, the revelator, John on the Isle of Patmos, saw the light. He also described it as bright as the noonday sun. And God spoke to him out of that light. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, one of my favorite verses. The Bible says the New Jerusalem, I'm going to go over and read it. The New Jerusalem, that there are no need, says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus was indeed the light that had returned. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Why did he return? Well, that same verse he says, but he that believeth shall have the light of life. He came to give life. The light to give life to us, to give us eternal life. That baby born in Bethlehem, that baby placed in the manger, that baby who lived, who grew and grew in wisdom and stature, the Bible says, and that young man who became a man, who lived a sinless life, who went to the cross and died, not for sins he had done, not for the crimes he had done, but he's died for our sins. He took upon the sins of the world. He took upon the sins of all mankind in order that he might save us, that he might redeem us, that he might save us from our sins. He was the light of life, to give us eternal life. I hope tonight you know you have eternal life. John, the apostle, said, these things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life, Listen, you don't have to hope you have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. You ought to be able to lay your head down at night and go to sleep knowing that if you were to die in your sleep, that heaven would be your home. What a wonderful joy and peace that brings in knowing. Tonight, do you know? Hope you do. If you don't, we'd love to show you how you can have an eternal life. We'd love to show you from the scriptures and the Bible how you can have eternal life. Jesus, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, so he said, I am the light of the world. And then when he was preaching to his disciples, he said to them, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Can remind us as Christians that we are to be the light. That we are to be the light. We see the light of creation. We see the light in the temple. We see the light departed. We see the light returned. And that returning light, Jesus Christ, was put out for 3 days. Then Jesus rose again from the dead. 50 days later, he ascended into heaven and now dwells at the right hand of the throne of God. But he did not leave us without one who could take care of us, one who would comfort us, the one who would give us grace, that Holy Spirit within inside of us, that Holy Spirit that dwells inside of all believers. And the light that went to the right hand of the throne of God left us to be light. The light that departed from Israel, returned, gave his life, was a light for 33 and a half years, and then said, no, you are the light. We are to be the light. We're to share with others the good news of salvation. We're to share the light with others. Christ rose from the dead, leaving us to be a light. Man, the world today needs light. All right, man, let's turn off the light if we can. This is so dangerous. Jesus again said, I am the light of the world. It was Jesus who was the fulfillment of prophecy. It was Jesus who commanded us to be a light. It's Jesus who returned, that Shekinah glory returned. If we can get the kids to turn their lights out, if you can help us with that. Maybe. I should have walked to the back before I did this. Oh, that was close. Yeah, let's see if I can do this. I already hit somebody. I appreciate the light. All right, you can turn it off now. I made it. Jesus Christ, the light has returned. I would give 10 cents to whoever goes up there and turns the light off of the piano. 10 cents. Somebody up front. You can use your iPhone if you need to. Oh, that's, I don't know who did it, but this will be interesting. Yeah, I'll try to figure that out. Oh, winner. Good job. Yeah. The visitors in here are going, what in the world have I got myself into? This church is strange. They're going to bring out snakes next. Next. It is amazing that one little light, that's why I had him turn the piano light out, because let your eyes adjust a little bit, you'll start seeing some things. But it is amazing what one light can do in a big room. And every year this still gets to me a little. Oop, before I hurt somebody. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me, again, which will have the light of life. Sermon on the Mount, he says, ye are the light of the world. We're to be a light. We live in a world that is in darkness. Philippians, Paul says that we should be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Christian, I can't challenge you enough. Child of God, more than ever, we need to be a light. More than ever, we need to poke holes in the darkness. I love that illustration, that each time we're able to share our light with someone, so we're poking another hole in the darkness. Again, if we waited another few more minutes, it'd be amazing. Now I can already walk around a little bit. I know there's some light from outside, but it's amazing what one little light will do. It's amazing, just a little light. And I'm kind of getting to the end of the message, but can I just tell you, we always talk about one vote makes a difference. And it really does in this day and age. It used to not, maybe per se, but now it does. Can I tell you that your light makes a difference? You say, well, my light's not all that big or not all that bright. I'm telling you, one light makes a difference. Go ahead and start lighting it, would you? One light makes a difference. But imagine if everyone shared their light. If everyone gave the gospel to somebody. It doesn't take long to make a difference. Oh, anyone? All the kids? You can start down the row if you would. Go in that direction. Just keep going that direction. Keep lighting it. May take you a minute. Also, you might help the person in front of you. In John chapter 9, Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 12, he says, then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For the he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. John chapter 12, Jesus says, I come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The light that returned. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Then he says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christian, we're to be a light. And that our light ought to glorify God, and in turn, others will see the glory of the Lord in us. It used to be a song, it's of course still here, but a song that says, you're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the only words of life some will ever read, so let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need, because you're the only Jesus some will ever see. Whether you're a teenager, adult, whether you're attending school or attending and working at your job, in your neighborhood, we ought to be a light. And I think the fallacy sometimes is the lie we believe is that our light won't make that much difference. But I'm telling you, your light can and will make a difference. Your light, however bright it may be, can and will make a difference. Listen, the world's in darkness today. Be a light. Be a light. Be a light for the Lord, that the others might see Jesus in you. Don't hide it under a bushel. Right, kids? Hide it under a bushel. What? No. I'm going to let it shine. There you go. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. We need to let our light shine. Let it shine. There's a great hymn, and we'll use this as our ending of the message. It goes like this. There's a call come, sing it with me. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. It's another old song, we won't sing it, called Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. It's amazing how before we had the, you know, radar and all the things we have now, ships use the lighthouse to keep them from hitting shore. But also not just the lighthouse, but along the shore they would have lights, especially if there was a rock embankment or something that the ship should avoid. And they were called lower lights. And there's a good old hymn that says, let your lower lights be burning. Can I tell you, we need to let our lights be burning. Because there are those who need to be rescued. There are those who walk in darkness and not in the light. And they need the light. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you this year, more than ever in this next year, to tell somebody, to pray for somebody you know who is in darkness. That God would give you the opportunity to share the light with them. Maybe during this season, maybe this tomorrow, maybe family, whatever, that you share the light with them. Because Republican and Democrats are not going to make the difference in America. Amen. It's the light that's going to make the difference. Amen. And may we share the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the time we've had tonight. Lord, the day we has been set aside tomorrow to celebrate your birth, but God, we celebrate it every day. Lord, the light has returned. God, may you give us that grace. May you strengthen us and empower us as you promised. Embolden us to share the light with others. God, help our own testimony. Help us to be a righteous and a good life, that we might be a good light to those around us, that those may see our light and glorify you. Again, thank you for these who've come out, who've taken the time to be here tonight. Lord, may we as a church collectively continue to send missionaries out. May we collectively continue to send the light around the world and in our community, in our country. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, you can blow it out. We can turn the lights back on. Watch out for the wax, if you would. Try to help us with that. Let's all stand. Thank you for coming tonight. Brother Clark, if you'd come. Brother Clark will come and dismiss us in prayer. Let's pray before we leave, all right? Everybody still with us? Let's pray. Take your candle. You can take your candle to the back, to the foyer, and leave it on the table. And visitors, thank you for being here tonight. Have a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful that you sent your son here to...